Well, thank you, young people. I got that airplane off of there.
Off the runway and got it up in the air, and it sort of took off, you know. I did good. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And again, we appreciate every one of you being here. I've enjoyed preaching the messages on the family, Family by Design, recently. I'm taking a little bit of a turn in subject matter tonight, not going away from the family. What I'm preaching on is very pertinent to the family, but it's just different than where we've been. And I want you to think, when I announce the topic, when I announce my title, I want you to stay with me and don't say, oh no, oh no, wish I hadn't come. Well, about half of the folks I announced this morning to our crowd that were preaching on the family tonight, I know a bunch of those folks might could have used some of this stuff about the family, but they didn't come back. And I hope maybe they'll get a recording or something, because our family is important, folks. Our family is extremely important. It's important enough to spend an hour, hour and a half on Sunday night to get instruction from the blessed old book about how to have a family by God's design. And so tonight, we will not have a handout sheet to take notes on. You can take notes if you want to write these down. I'm going to read some statistics to you for a little bit. So I'm going to ask you, don't let me bore you for the next few minutes, because what I have to say is extremely important. But I want you to hear the statistics, because it will shock you and it'll make you very aware of the problem I'm going to tell you about and how badly we need to address this problem. In Ephesians chapter number 6, and beginning in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Would you underline the word strong? We live in a day of weak Christianity. It's weak. It's weak as water. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There is strength to overcome whatever problems you have. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he is real, and we are in a battle with him. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, I pray that you would bless us as we come to this. Alertness at its highest level. And Lord, that our heart would be receptive to the truths that you allow us to hear. And I pray that you'd bless us and help us to take caution, that we are equipped and armored and prepared to meet the battles that families face today. I pray that you'd bless us. Lord, help us to enjoy our Christianity, but help us not to ever think that we don't have to be prepared for battle. I pray that you'd bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm preaching on the curse of pornography. Somebody thinks in their mind, as soon as a preacher announces that topic, please don't talk on this subject. It's inappropriate. Well, the devil's winning some battles. And there's some battles that's not being addressed from the pulpit, and the devil is getting the upper hand. And we must address issues like this. And somebody might say, well, preacher, you're wasting your time here with a Sunday night crowd. I don't use porn. My spouse doesn't use porn. And our kids don't use porn, I don't think. And so we could probably be doing something more beneficial with our spiritual time in the Bible. Well, I think I'm going to alert you to the fact that it may be more critical than you think. Pornography is a big business. It's a big business. And where money's involved, the power is going to be strong. I was, when we were on visitation yesterday, Brother Denny and I and Brother Marcus were visiting, and it was raining, and we were making some visits. They were not really, for the most part, not soul-winning visits. I said, you know, some days are soul-winning days, and some days are sheepdogging days. And yesterday was a sheepdogging day. And what we were doing was trying to gather in some of the sheep that were kind of wandering out away from the fold, trying to help some folks that needed some help. And Brother Aaron and I did that on Thursday night, just trying to be a help and sheepdog and bring people back, because that's what pastoring and that's what Christian ministry consists of to a large degree. Everything's not soul winning, and so we need to take the people who have already been won to the Lord sometimes and draw them back in. And sometimes it's not just physically wandering from the house of God, sometimes it's wandering in the mind. And here in this passage of Scripture, some of the greatest battles that are fought in the mind. Go over to 1 Corinthians and chapter number, well, let's see. This passage just came to me, and I'm trying to find it. I think it's in chapter 10. I have to get somebody to help me out. I wanted you to see this. Okay, chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But with the temptation will also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now, there's another passage in 1 Corinthians, and it talks about casting down vain... Or no, that's 2 Corinthians, isn't it? Casting down vain imaginations. Where is that? Somebody tell me. This is church. Somebody ought to know this. Wouldn't it be great if the preacher knew? 2 Corinthians. Am I thinking chapter 10? Okay, that's it. Chapter 10, verse 5. I knew I'd know it. See, this is why you ought to make notes. Chapter 10 and verse number 5. "Casting down vain imaginations, and of every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity," watch this, "bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, when we're dealing with such things as pornography, this is a battleground that's in the mind. Yes, it's aided by the eyes, and sometimes it works its way out physically, but it starts in the mind, and that's where the main part of the battle. If it can be waged and won in the mind, then the war we have with the eyes and the flesh will be much easier. And so I submit to you tonight, as I read you these statistics, understand that, you know, I despise to preach on this subject, but I got to, because it's so important, and it's such a devilish thing that's happening in our country. When I recorded my sermon notes, I saved my sermons on the hard drive of my laptop, and I've got my sermons categorized according to, you know, I've got a folder for faith and a folder for soul winning and a folder for sin and so forth. And so tonight, when I started to file this one away, I realized I didn't have a folder called pornography. I made a folder called pornography, and somehow it just didn't seem right.
Somebody goes on my computer and starts looking. Oh, wow, he's got a whole folder on pornography, you know. But I only got one sermon, and I'll probably preach more. I'll give you some statistics on how much it gets preached on in a little bit, too. But I'm just saying, this is a topic that is shunned by preachers because we don't want to talk about it. You don't want to hear about it. And so the devil's having a heyday. And he's winning. Well, let me give you some statistics. Porn industry, according to U.S. News and World Report, the industry 5 years ago grossed an estimated $10 billion. And that figure represents an expenditure of about $30 per person in the United States. That figure now, most of these statistics I give you, I was having trouble finding statistics that are real current. I guess they don't do research on this very often, so the statistics are a few years old, so you can probably... I don't think the problem's got any better, do you? So whatever the problem was a few years ago, it's going to be worse now. In fact, the latest statistic I found said that $12 billion is probably closer to it, and maybe more, that's spent by Americans every year. $12 billion. Now, do you see why that it's being used a lot? And do you understand the widespread problem? That many billion dollars? And why most of that, a good portion of it, is getting paid into the government coffers as taxes. So, hey, they're happy about it. So who's battling it? Nobody, if you and I don't. Porn now is considered as American as apple pie. You know, you just grow up doing it, and it's just everybody's doing it, and so, hey, it's okay. And it's in every corner of our society. Americans now spend more on pornographic films than is produced by the big box movies in Hollywood. Now think about that. We thought pornography was just a few little films made in somebody's basement or some back room in the alley that is just a little bit here and there. They're selling more than Hollywood. More than Hollywood. Americans now spend more money at strip clubs more money at strip clubs than at Broadway shows, off-Broadway shows, in Branson Regional, nonprofit theaters, the opera, the ballet, the jazz, and classical musical performances all combined. There's a bunch of this stuff going on, friend. Today, the pornography industry is the number seventh from the top of the biggest grossing industry in America. Seventh from the top. That's big. The revenues of the porn industry in the United States alone are bigger than the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball all combined. Beginning to get a little bit of flavor of how widespread it is and how big it is and how many people must be using it. To put this in perspective, Microsoft, who sells the operating systems for most of the computers in the world, guess how much money they, through all of the operating systems that they sell worldwide, they gross about $36.8 billion. That's almost $37 billion that Microsoft makes off of their operating systems. You'd think Microsoft is selling a lot of stuff because they're the number one, right? Guess how much pornography is grossing compared to that? $57 billion. More than Microsoft. That's serious. Now, this was back in 2004. Most of the profits being generated by porn today are being earned by businesses that are traditionally not associated with such. It's being sold through rented videos and little mom-and-pop stores, big box stores, on the satellite and cable TVs, and the biggest hotels in the world sell porn in the room. It's big. The United States is now the world's leading producer of pornography, churning out hardcore videos at the astonishing rate of 150 new titles per week. 150 per week. This is big. Playboy's website now averages about 5 million hits a day on one website. Telephone sex. Every night between the hours of 9 p.m. and 1 a.m., a quarter of a million Americans pick up the phone and dial a number so they can talk dirty to somebody on the other end and pay for it. This is big. There are more outlets now for hardcore pornography in the United States than there are McDonald's restaurants. Huh? How many McDonald's we got here? Two? Three? Three? A study by the Nielsen Media Research indicated heavy traffic into the Penthouse website from corporate networks. And these are people who are at work. These are business people who are at work. And they're hooking up to the pornographic sites while they're at work during the day. About 12,823 hits a day come in while they're supposed to be working. Compaq Computer, a few years ago, dismissed 20 employees, each of whom had accessed sex-related websites more than 1,000 times. You say, why does all this matter? Because remember, I asked the question at the beginning, somebody might say, well, preacher, why preach on this? I don't use it. My spouse doesn't use it. And my kids don't use it. Let's go on. 50% of all the web engine search hits, guess what 50% of them are for? You guessed it. 50% of the search words that are typed into Google and what's some of the others, Bing and those others, half of the searches are for porn sites. Half. In Oklahoma City, they eliminated over 150, listen to this, they eliminated over 150 sexually oriented businesses, and Oklahoma City kicked out 150 sexually oriented businesses, and when they did, the rape rate in that city declined 27%. While the rest of Oklahoma did not kick out these sites, and the rape rate rose 19%. Now, what does that tell us? Whatever's going on around us and affects our families. A study in Phoenix, Arizona found that neighborhoods with a pornography business experienced 40% more property crime and 500% more sexual offenses than similar neighborhoods without a pornography outlet. Yeah. Men and boys involved in this, and they get caught in the deadly attraction to pornography, and it's addictive, it's addictive, it's addictive. It's like drugs. When they start, it takes a little more. A little bit's not enough, and it takes more, and it takes more bizarre parts and more bizarre sights, and it just demands more and more of you when you get addicted to it. And it is highly addictive, like drugs or alcohol. Barna research says that as many as one in four pastors struggle with or are addicted to pornography. You hear that? Those are supposed to be the good guys. One out of four. And we think, it's not going to bother my family. Wow. Josh McDowell's website indicates no percentage of how many teen boys are involved in it. It just states these words, virtually all are involved. That's not my words. That's Josh McDowell, a Christian researcher. Josh McDowell said that it doesn't break the teen boys involved in it down to a percentage because they just say they're all, virtually all. Now, I'm not saying that every teen boy is. It's just saying for all practical purposes, nearly everyone has been exposed to it. Thank God for a few godly young men that says, I'm going to stay pure and not be involved in it. Thank God for that. But that number is really tiny. It's so small they didn't even put a percentage down. That's sad, isn't it?
So I think we could conclude that in each of our churches, a sizable percentage of at least men and boys are exposed to it. According to the Justice Department, back in 1998, there were 28,000 X-rated websites generating $925 million in revenue, and in just 3 years, that number increased from 28,000 to 280,000. 60% of all website visits that take place on the internet, over half, 60%, 6 out of every 10 website visits are sexual in nature. I don't know about you, but this is blowing my mind. I knew it was there, but I just didn't realize how much. MSNBC survey back in 2000 said the number one search term used at search engine sites is the word S-E-X. Number one search word. Number one. They said 77% of online visitors, 77% of online visitors to these sites with adult content are males. Now, about 17 to 20% are females. Their average age, about 41, but that's just average. Annual income of about $60,000, and 46% of them are married. According to DivorceWizards.com, the U.S. Customs Service estimates that there are more than 100,000 websites offering child pornography, which is illegal. The Red Herring magazine in 2002 said Hollywood currently releases 11,000 adult movies per year, more than 20 times the mainstream movie production. Barna Research Group says 1 in 4 American adults surveyed in 2002 admitted to seeing an X-rated movie in the last year. 1 in 4. The average teenager spends 3 to 4 hours a day watching television, and 83% of the programming on TV has some very explicit or pretty explicit nature. TV is pretty well trashed. I mean, not like it's been good for a while, you know, or anything like that, but I mean, we've come a long way since Andy and Barney and Leave It to Beaver. I mean, you had a few things back then that wasn't too good either, but it's come a long way since then. Most of TV now is trashy, and you just have to be careful even flipping through the channels. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I don't even have to tell you. You start flipping through the channels, and you're going to see something you shouldn't have seen. CBS News and Special Report reported that the porn industry employs an excess of 12,000 people in California alone in the porn industry and pays over $36 million in taxes every year. The porn industry is paying big taxes. Government is being lobbied by lobbyists who have been hired by the pornography industry. And that means that since when the lobbyists go in and they lobby your lawmakers and they convince them that, hey, porn is okay. I mean, it's, you know, it's all around and everybody knows. And so, hey, guys, we might as well go ahead and get the tax money out of it. You got to pass some laws and lighten up on the pornography, because if you don't, you're missing out on $36 million just every year in California alone. And again, these are a few years old, so the statistics, I'm sure it may be a whole lot higher by now. Governments and legislators see tax dollars coming in, and they're hungry for money. And so they're going to be easygoing on the pornography producers. Well, is it only men and boys? About 17% of women struggle with porn addiction. 1 out of 3 visitors to websites are women. 9.4 million women across the nation access wealth adult websites every day, or every month, I'm sorry. And 38% of adults believe that it's that this type of stuff is morally acceptable. It's okay. I'm talking about churches too, Christians. I mean, this kind of sickening, but hey, sometimes you got to know. It's kind of like finding out, you know, you got cancer, and you got to start taking treatments. It's not the news you wanted to hear, but hey, it's better than not doing anything about it, right? 42% of surveyed adults indicated that their partner's use of pornography made them feel insecure. Well, duh. Yeah. 60% of the women who answered this survey, marriage-related research by Mark A. Yarhouse, 60% of the women who answered the survey admitted to having significant struggles with lust, and 40% admitted to being involved in sexual sin in the past year, and 20% of the church-going female participants struggle with looking at pornography on an ongoing basis. 20% of church-going folks, church-going women. So you wouldn't think that, right? I wouldn't. Well, I've got a bunch more statistics, but I don't want to make you throw up or make you go to sleep, either one, so I'm going to move to a little bit of an outline here. I said all of that to say this. Do you still think, if you had that thought in your mind when I began, well, I don't do porn, and my partner doesn't do porn, and my kids don't do porn, are we sure? Are we sure? Number one, a little outline. What is pornography? First, pornography is a perversion. Write it down. Pornography is a perversion that attacks everything that God cherishes most. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Genesis chapter 1, and you'll know this. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse number 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We're created in whose image? We're created in God's image. Now, can you just... It's painful to think about it, but can you imagine God viewing pornography? I can't. Can you? I cannot conceive of that. I don't even want to think about it. And yet we're made in his image. If we're made in his image and we begin to fall into sexual perversion, then we're going against the very image that he created us in. We're supposed to be like him. And if we're letting our eyes and our thoughts feast upon the devil's playground, we're being nothing like God. We're being more like the devil than we ever have before. And we're created in his image. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? We have to make a covenant with our eyes. The battle starts in the mind, and then the mind dictates what the eyes look at. I mean, yeah, driving down the road anymore, looking down the highway and seeing the billboards is a pretty good battle. Looking at magazines with all the ads. I mean, I won't buy a Hardee's hamburger or Carl's Jr.'s hamburger. They tell me they're good, but I'm not going to eat one of them because they use pornography to advertise their hamburgers on TV. I mean, they use naked women. Why do you need somebody naked to advertise a hamburger, for crying out loud? I mean, everything from toothpaste to cleaning products for your kitchen. It's hard to see TV. It's hard to listen to music. It's hard to go in a restaurant. It's hard to go in a grocery store. It's hard to stand in the checkout line at the grocery store with the magazines on each side. And we're bombarded with it. And so the Bible says, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a maid. And the eyes, listen, ladies, this is why ladies ought to dress properly. Instead of dressing in tight-fitting clothes and revealing clothes, and scanty clothes, a man has eyes that are different than a woman's eyes. Believe me, I'm right. If you men know what I'm talking about, would you just raise your hand so they can see your hand? Don't be bashful. A man's eyes is different than a woman's eyes. A man is motivated by what he sees way more than a woman is. And so that's why when the Muslims do their dirty deeds and they say, well, just because a woman was walking around scantily clad doesn't give a Muslim the right to rape a woman. Well, I agree. But I don't think the woman is totally... I'm not referring to that, but just when a man lusts after a woman, if she's dressed in a way that is seductive and provocative, I don't think she's totally innocent. I think she's helping that guy lust. I'm not saying that it justified anybody committing rape, but I'm just saying that a guy who sees that because his eyes, that's the way God made men to be attracted through the eyes, and women are attracted through the touch. That's just the way it works. And so I'm saying that we ought to be careful in the way we dress. Secondly, pornography is not only a perversion, pornography is an enemy which destroys the innocence of children. Pornography is an enemy that destroys the innocence of children. Our children are at stake. It's been estimated that approximately 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 7 boys will be sexually molested before the age of 18. That's the statistics. And the relationship of pornography to sexual abuse is very compelling. I don't care what they say, the statistics prove that pornography... Hey, the worst offenders... let me give you a statistic. 77% of those who molested boys and 87% of those who molested girls said they were regular users of hardcore pornography. 87%. We're not innocent in this. A guy who looks at pornography says, I'm not hurting anybody. If it's hurting anybody, it's just hurting me. It's not hurting anybody else. When it drives you to do things that causes 87% of those guys to do that, it is harmful to all of us. This is terrible. UNICEF reports that 1 million children each year are forced into prostitution and to make pornography, child trafficking. Over 1 million kids a year. We're talking about underage children. And most of those guys who are doing that are motivated and have been watching and viewing the pornography. It's not innocent. Mark 9:42 says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. That's what the Lord said. That if they would do that to one of these little ones, they deserve to be thrown into the sea. Letter C, the pornography is a lie. Pornography says that this lust-driven activity is better than marriage. It's better outside of marriage. That's a lie. God designed us to fulfill our needs, our physical needs, within the bonds of marriage. That's how God made us. And to do it outside of marriage is simply sin. It's called fornication. And other words, that's abomination to God. Proverbs 9:17 says, stolen waters are sweet. Stolen waters are sweet. Taking that from outside the marriage that God designed to be inside the marriage. Stolen waters are sweet. But if you keep reading, it says, but in the end, at the very last, their mouth's going to be filled with gravel. I don't know about you. Have you ever had a mouth full of sand? That's pretty bad. I can't imagine a mouth full of gravel. But that's what God says it's like. When you think that you can fulfill your desires and your lusts outside of marriage, He said your mouth's going to be full of gravel. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So who are the victims? Well, number one, those who are addicted to pornography. They're victims. Those who are addicted. They come under the power of it, and they cannot get loose. I've heard their testimonies. They say that they're chained to it. They're chained to it. They can't get away. They can stop looking at it for a little while, and then the next thing you know, they've got to go back to it again. It's like a drug. And they're chained. It's a lie. And it's said that they believe that they just They just can't get by without it. It's drawing them like a magnetism, a craving that they cannot resist. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:25, pleasure, that there's that sin is a pleasure for a season, but then the book of James says that when it's fulfilled at the last, it bringeth forth death. Death. What does it cause death to? For this guy that's addicted, this guy that's he's chained to the pornography. Well, it'll cause death of your self-respect. I mean, you can't come to the house of God and set your Bible on your lap and listen to the preaching and say, amen, man, that's good. I feel close to God. You can't do that if you've lost your self-respect. If you know you're being eaten up on the inside by an addiction that is ungodly. You can't listen to these young people sing and get a blessing out of their song if you're eaten up with a loss of your self-respect. You've died to any kind of a connection to God, and you can't do it. You can't desire God anymore because your other desires have filled you with shame. Shame. Death to self-respect, death to meaningful relationships. Women whose husbands are addicted to pornography say that they feel used and abused and neglected, and that their husband makes them feel like they must be ugly and trashy and undesirable because he's looking at something else, not them. And so it's a death to your relationships. It's a death to moral absolutes, because once you go in that direction, there's no turning back. Only God knows just how far you will go. I mean, there's sin will take you a lot further than you wanted to go and keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And all too often it brings forth a literal death to the innocent as well as the guilty. In an odd twist, those who've been interviewed that I read about says that those who get involved in pornography, whatever they see soon becomes unfulfilling, and so then they look for things that's more bizarre and ungodly and outlandish, and it takes them a step further and a step further, and the next thing you know, they're dancing with the devil, and it's terrible. For men to look at pornography is to commit adultery. Matthew 5:27-28, our Lord said this. He said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." How can somebody look at pornography and not commit adultery? I don't think they could they? I mean, isn't that the point of looking? Is the fantasy? Males are victims of porn. Females are. It's time that our Christian girls and Christian ladies stopped dressing in such a way that they invite those looks from men. If you're not advertising, then don't throw the merchandise out there. Those who have been harmed are victims, not just the one who's addicted, but those who have been harmed are victims. Let me read you this woman's story. I'll be done in just a minute. I'm almost through. One woman's story. She said, "My husband began using porn as a teenager. What was once an adolescent hobby became the other woman in our marriage. At first, it was our intimacy that suffered. Then his pastime grew into an addiction, which started to include more serious forms of adultery. He was going to strip bars and sleeping with prostitutes. He was often late with poor excuses. I noticed our money disappearing and never suspected he was spending nearly $500 a week to feed his addiction. Me, I felt responsible, ugly, ashamed, alone, and helpless. Why would he look at another woman unless I wasn't pretty or sexy enough? Friends rejected my idea that his porn use was ruining our relationship. They told me the more the sexier and the more responsive I was, and the more I was available to him, the less he would look elsewhere. I tried all these things only to find they didn't work. I ended up feeling like a failure as a wife and lover. Now I know it wasn't me. When we got help, I found out his pornography began as before our marriage, as far back as his youth. Not only was it not my fault, it had nothing to do with me at all. After much counseling, we both understand that he entered our marriage thinking that I would cure all his sex problems. No wonder he was so disappointed and angry. We're still together. We are living proof that pornography or sex addiction does not have to mean the end of your relationship. Number three, what action can we take as believers? What can we do? Well, one thing you can do is contact your elected representatives often. Write them, call them, email them. Let them know on a continual basis that you're against the pornography industry. Let them know. Because remember, they're being lobbied by the people who are promoting the porn industry. They need to hear from us. And we should speak out at every opportunity. It's election season. The candidates are everywhere. When you get a chance to talk to one of them, bring it up. Say, you know, I'm really concerned about this pornography thing, and it's becoming a blight on America. And quote a few of those statistics. Familiarize yourself and learn them, and quote them to the politician and say, hey, sir, I wish you would really check into this. This is more serious than most of us think. And get their attention. We're to take a stand on our knees. We need to pray, pray, pray. That's why I read in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're supposed to be prayer warriors, and we got to get God on our side. We have to have God working for us and for the things that we're concerned about. The parable of the Good Samaritan provides our marching orders, Luke 10, 27 through 37. We need to be salt and light in our culture, Matthew 5, 13 and 14. The salt preserves the culture. Somebody's got to speak up. Somebody's got to be against it. Some preacher's going to have to preach against it. Somebody's got to stand up and say, this is enough. We're going to destroy our nation, because nations are destroyed when families are destroyed. The internet has brought an interstate highway of pornography into our homes. Parents would be wise. Parents would be very wise. Listen, I'm giving you a little bit of Brooks wisdom here. Parents would be wise to limit the amount of TV and internet access their children have. It ought to be in a place where you can look over their shoulder anytime you want to, and maybe you ought to get an internet filter or some software that where you can come behind them and you can see everywhere where they've gone on the internet. You say, oh, I wouldn't be protecting my child's privacy. Kids growing up in my house didn't have any privacy. I feel like their survival and their eternal soul is more valuable than the so-called privacy. Hey, when they get grown and move out on their own, they can have all kinds of privacy. But as long as they're living in a house, they're my responsibility, and I want to protect them from the devil. Check on them often, and put some kind of stopgap in there, whether it's limitations on time. I don't think it's good for kids or adults to sit and watch TV for hours and hours and hours with all that stuff. Just the commercials. Even if you can find a good old movie, you know, a good old shoot 'em up movie where, you know, back when they played cowboys and Indians, you can't even do that anymore. But even the commercials are vile. And so spending hours and hours unlimited on TV or internet is dangerous. It just is. I'm not an alarmist. I read you the statistics. It's happening. We just got to decide how far we're going to go in making sure it doesn't happen in our home. Magazines. Friends. In the Bible it says a companion of fools will be destroyed. And I think one of the greatest dangers that young people face is hanging out with other kids who don't have any restrictions on them. And they bring it in through the peer pressure thing, and oftentimes we don't see it. I'm just trying to be a shepherd tonight. I love you, and I want to see your home protected. I want to see your kids grow up pure and clean.
I want to see them go before a marriage altar one day and get their very first kiss right in front of the whole crowd, preacher and everybody. Amen. Get their very first kiss. You say, are you that old-fashioned? I think that's the ideal way. Now, God can forgive you no matter what you've done. God can forgive you, and He can bring you back into close fellowship with Him if you repent and you turn to Him. And if you're not saved tonight, He'll save you and wash you clean and white as snow. He'll forgive your every sin. But that doesn't give you the reason, nor the license, nor the liberty to go out and just keep on sinning. He wants us to live for Him. Let's bow our heads, please, together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's go to the Lord in a prayer in just a moment. But I want to invite you to come to the altar if you need to pray. You may not have anything going on in your life like this. I hope to God it's not. You may not have anything going on with your spouse. You may not have anything going on with the kids. But the devil's trying to tempt them, I promise you. And it's worth checking into, and it's worth watching out for, and it's worth putting up some fences, and it's worth having some rules. And hey, I just tell you, parents, it's better to have war for a day or two and get it over with than it is to have a continual battle going on forever. Just go ahead and have the war and get it done. If you're here not saved, I invite you to come and trust Christ as Savior tonight. If you're watching by live stream, you may not understand the seriousness of the pornography problem, but I'll tell you what's very, very deadly in your life if you haven't trusted Christ as Savior, and that's sin, period. If you've never been saved, your sin will take you straight to hell. I promise you, God doesn't want you to go there. He loves you enough that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, and He'll save you. If you'd but turn from your sin and turn to Him for salvation tonight, He'd receive you. That's why He came and died on the cross, to forgive your sins. If you ask Him, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise, friend. He'll save you. He'll cleanse you. He'll make you pure and white as snow all over again. Let's pray together, and I'm going to invite you to stand and come to the altar. Father, I pray that You'd just bless us as we contemplate the seriousness of this invader into our homes and into our families, this pornography problem. And Lord, nobody's off limits to the devil. He'll attack anybody. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us not to be foolish enough to think that he couldn't hit in our own homes. I pray that You'd give us that unction from on high tonight. Fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit of God that we might not sin against You. I pray that You'd give us the wisdom to fall on our knees and beg for Your protection in our own families, in our own lives, each of us. I pray that You'd bless. And Lord, if there's somebody who's not saved, I pray they'd trust Christ as Savior tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.